This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله إله الأولين والآخرين وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عليه أفضل الصلاة وتم التسليم. Welcome brothers and sisters in Islam and dear friends to our series on the hereafter. Last time we took the Day of Judgment, we took the hisab, the reckoning, the accounting. We spoke about all the witnesses that will witness against us, the seven different witnesses. We spoke about how our book of deeds will be presented in front of us and we'll be turning over the pages. And we will say, SubhanAllah, there's not a single big thing nor a small thing that I've ever done, not a word that I've pronounced, nor a sound that I've made with my mouth, or something that I've acted on with my limbs, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has surely told the angels to write it down in that book and it will be presented in front of us. Surely it is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said in the beautiful Qur'an, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Whoever does a single atom's weight, a single atom's weight of good will indeed truly see it, and whoever does an atom's weight of bad or evil or harm will truly definitely see it. My brothers and sisters in Islam, we will not only see the bad deed that we have done, we will also see the effect of our bad deeds. As Allah says in the Quran, وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَأَثَارَهُمْ. We will write down what people have done and the effect of their bad deeds. So therefore, we will not only see the evil deed or the good deed that we have done, but also the effect that it has had. So if it might be a book that you've written and millions of people benefited from that, you will get to see that in your book of deeds. And if you did an evil deed and millions of people learned an evil from that, and because of that evil spread on this earth, you will see all of that in that book. So be very careful about exactly how we approach our life and what deeds we actually do. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said in the authentic hadith in Sunan Tirmidhi, a slave's foot will not move on the Day of Judgment, meaning that at the time of accounting, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is accounting and checking your good deeds with your bad deeds, a slave's feet will not move on that day until he is asked five questions. What are these five questions? I'm going to tell you these five questions so that you can ponder about these five questions for the rest of your life. What are these five questions? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you about your youth. What did you do with it? Your youth, what did you do with it? And your life, what did you do with it? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you about the knowledge that you have gained, the knowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. What did you do with that knowledge and how did you spend it and how did you benefit people through it and how did you act upon it? So the first thing is youth and life. The second thing is knowledge. The third thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you is your money. Where did you gain it and how did you spend it? These are two questions. Where did you gain the money? And fourthly, how did you spend it? So these are the four questions, and then the fifth one, the last one, is your health. Where did you, how did you spend your health, and how did you end your life, and before your sickness from which you died? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us these five questions about our life and our youth, about our knowledge, and about our wealth, where we earned it and spent it, and about our health. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will truly ask us about this, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Thereafter you will surely be asked about the blessings of Allah. And so Allah is asking you about these blessings, the blessings of youth, of knowledge, of wealth, and of health, and where we actually spent it. Thereafter, of course, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the authentic hadith, that at that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have judged everybody, and everyone will have been given his deed in his right hand, or his book of deeds in his right hand, or the left hand. At that point, Rasulullah says that at that point, the angels will be tremendously afraid. At that point, because they will see all of mankind having been judged, all of mankind and their sins have all been displayed. All the things that they have done are all displayed. And it is for this reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get so angry at that point. He has never been more angry ever before. And he will never be as angry ever after that. At that point, the angels will say, "Al-yawma ghadiballahu ghadban lam yaghdab mithluhu ba'd." Verily today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gotten so angry, He has never gotten this angry ever before. At that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will order the people of Jahannam to go to Jahannam and the people of Jannah to go to Jannah. Subhanallah. Let me stop you at this point here and ask you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger. Do we truly deserve the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we deserve to be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Well, the answer is, how can we not deserve the punishment of Allah? How can we not deserve the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can we not deserve all of these things, all of these tests and trials and the Jahannam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already put for us? Remember when the tsunami happened a few years ago, when you saw the huge waves coming and crushing millions of people and destroyed thousands of homes and made a million people homeless and made a million people orphans, million kids orphans and killed millions of people? Do you remember the tsunami in the spate of a few hours? You know, so many parts of the world was destroyed. Yani, do we not deserve the tsunami? Yes, fine, it didn't happen to us, but don't we all deserve the tsunami? I said, truly, we all deserve the tsunami. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, and He says it so beautifully. He says, وَلَوْ يُؤَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ وَلَكِنْ يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to take mankind to account for what they have earned, for what they have done, then He would not have left anyone on the face of this earth. However, he gives them time, He gives them respite until an appointed day. And فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ, when that day surely comes, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِعِبَادِهِ بَصِيرًا. Verily on that day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was always aware of what His slave used to do, and He will definitely take His slave to account, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ ذُو انْتِقَامٍ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most honorable, the most great, and He is ذُو انْتِقَامٍ, the one who is severe and swift and quick in punishment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly deserves, we truly deserve to be destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We truly have earned so much sins and have spread so much evil and corruption on this land that we all deserve the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, it is only by the mercy and the patience and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are still here. And so it is truly, no one amongst us will truly enter Jannah and overcome all the trials that will come to us surely, except by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So repent to Allah. Repent to Allah, for we all deserve to be destroyed. The righteous amongst us and the sinner amongst us. We have all sinned and we are all sinners. And we all are sinners according to different levels and different types. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our repentance when we come back to Him with a clean and pure heart, insha'Allah ta'ala. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have been so angry when He sees all of creation with their sins displayed in front of them that He will say, "O angels, take every out of every thousand, take 999. When the angels ask them, "Ya Allah, how many should we take for Jahannam?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, "Out of every hundred, out of every thousand, take 999. Another narration, "Out of every hundred, take 99. Subhanallah, at that point people will be in mourning and crying. So no, they'll be mourning and crying, say, "Ya Allah, no, don't do this, please, Ya Allah, don't do this." At that point, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hear their cries. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not pay attention because He has already given us time now. He has given us 70 years to live in this earth to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we did not bend our backs in prayer. And we did not call upon Him. We did not ask Him. And He was always willing to forgive us. He was always willing to overlook our mistakes. He was always willing to overlook. And even until the last minute, yet we did not turn back to Him. Yet we did not take up Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words. Yet we forgot all of the times when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to ask us to come towards Him. We overlooked all the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We rejected all those people who used to call us to the path. So how do you expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy at that point? Don't you expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have His justice and to punish you at that point? It is for this reason where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, out of every 1,999 into Jahannam. Of course, there is another explanation of this hadith that says that 999 meaning of them are the Ya'juj and Ma'juj. However, the wording is very general. However, the wording is very general, and we know that the people of Jahannam will be much more than the people of Jannah. We know that Jahannam will be bigger than will have more people than in Jannah, and as a result, more people will be thrown into Jahannam than in Jannah. As Allah says in the Quran, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمُ. Listen to this, please. It is an unbelievable surah, Surah Qaf. I want you to please go and read the surah, Surah Qaf, and subhanAllah, see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمُ. On that day, we will tell Jahannam, هَلْ امْتَلَأْتِ. Are you full? Have you had enough? We have thrown 999 out of every 1,000 people into you. Halim talati, are you full now? Wataqulu, and Jahannam will reply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. Jahannam will say, Wataqulu, hal min mazid? Oh Allah, is there any more? Oh Allah, is there any more? Meaning, subhanAllah, you've stuffed so much into me, Ya Rabbi. You're putting more and more people into me. Is there still more? How much more, Ya Allah, will you punish in Jahannam? What an amazing statement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has filled Jahannam. And on top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking Jahannam, are you full? And Jahannam will say, is there more? I'm hungry, I'm still hungry. I still want to destroy more people. I still want to eat up more people. Is there any more? Subhanallah. Do you not remember, my brothers and sisters in Islam, some of the names of the Day of Judgment? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the Day of Judgment Yawm al-Hasra, the Day of Regret. When the judgment has been pronounced and the punishment has been pronounced, at that point, just as people are being dragged by the chains around their necks into the fire, when angels are dragging them to the fires, as Allah says, وَنَحْشُرُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ وِرْدًا. When we are driving the mushrikeen, just like we pull camels and we pull horses to the water, in the same way we'll be pulling the Jahannam, the angels will be pulling the mujrimeen and throwing them face down into Jahannam. At that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that truly the Day of Judgment is known as Yawm al-Hasra. One of its names meaning Yawm al-Hasra, which means the Day of Regret. We will be in tremendous distress and we will be in tremendous regret. Regret that subhanAllah, we could have gone to Jannah, but we went to Jahannam. We could have taken a path to eternal bliss with Allah and with the prophets and with the best of people, yet we decided to waste our time, 70 years of wasting, just 70 years, which we forgot that it would judge our eternity, and so thereafter we are doomed to hell, to the fire. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test those people who were not tested in this life, such as, for example, the people who never had the knowledge of Islam, such as, for example, the people who are mad and who died mad, such as, for example, those who are the children of mushrikeen, for example, the children of the disbelievers who died in their childhood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, enter the fire, and if they listen to Allah and they enter the fire, they will end up entering into Jannah. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not enter into Jannah, and they try to enter into Jannah, that will actually become Jahannam for them. So that will be their test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test them on that day. And if they obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will enter Jannah. And if they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will enter into Jahannam. On that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell every person to follow his imam, the one that he used to follow in this life. So the people of Jahannam will be thrown into Jahannam with the imam. And the people of Jannah will follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and their prophets further on towards a place away from that place of accounting. So we find that Allah says in the Quran, يَوْمَ نُنَادِ كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. On that day we will call all people by the imam. This is why Ibn Kathir rahimullah says in the tafsir of this verse shows the greatness of the people of hadith. Why? Those who follow hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ and those who stick to Rasulullah ﷺ. Why? Because their imam is no one but Rasulullah ﷺ. And this is why, my brothers and sisters in Islam, we should all try and go back to the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, so that our imam is no one but Rasulullah ﷺ. At that point, brothers and sisters in Islam, the believers will all, believers and some hypocrites will all follow Rasulullah ﷺ towards the pond of Al-Kawthar. Now the ulama have differences. Is the pond of Al-Kawthar before the Sirat, or is it after the Sirat, or is it in Jannah? And the most popular difference is it before the Sirat on the plain of resurrection, or is it in Jannah? And they're both authentic hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ that point to the fact that there is Al-Kawthar on the day of resurrection, on the plains of resurrection, as well as in Jannah. And therefore we say that inshallah the stronger opinion is that there will be a portion of Al-Kawthar in the plains of resurrection, on the earth of resurrection, and there will be a portion of Al-Kawthar, if not a second river, which is also called Al-Kawthar, also in Jannah. Both are authentic ahadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At that place, all the people will come to meet, all the Muslims will come and meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All the people, all the Muslims will come and meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so Rasulullah sallallahu described his pond of Al-Kawthar, as Allah says, "Inna a'tayna kal-Kawthar." And in this verse, in this surah, which is one of the most beautiful surah in the Quran, the shortest perhaps, but the most beautiful surah, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to not be worried about those people who curse him, those people who harm him, for verily Allah has recompensed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for that harm and for that evil with a tremendous reward, and that reward is Al-Kawthar. So let me give you 10 descriptions of 10 attributes of Al-Kawthar that will describe to you what Al-Kawthar truly is. And these are all authentic statements from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in various ahadith in Bukhari, in Muslim, and in Abi Dawud, Tirmidhi, etc., that describe the pond of Al-Kawthar that Rasulullah ﷺ would be given. First of all, we know that Al-Kawthar is square in size. Second of all, we know that each side of the square because it's square in size, each side, the length of it is the distance between Medina, which is the city of Rasulullah ﷺ, and Sana'a, which is in Yemen. Thirdly, we know that the water is as white as snow. Yes, white as snow. Also, we know that the water is as sweet as honey. Also, we know that the water is as fragrant as musk. That's five attributes. Then also, we know that there are goblets and cups on the river, on the pond of Al-Kawthar, that are like the number of stars in the sky, meaning so numerous, because so numerous will be the number of people who will come to meet Rasulullah ﷺ at that point. Number seven is that the water will be as cool and as soothing as ice, meaning it will be so cold and so beautiful. And of course, that is a compensation for the difficulty that the people were spending on the terrible day of judgment, in the heat of the day of judgment. Number eight is that there are two pipes from Jannah feeding into Al-Kawthar, and two pipes from Jannah will be feeding the water of Al-Kawthar from Jannah itself. So the water of Al-Kawthar will be from Jannah itself. Number nine is that on Al-Kawthar will be birds, and these birds will have necks like necks of giraffes, and they will be floating around on that pond. And number 10 is that whoever drinks from this pond will never ever be thirsty again. So the question is, therefore, what about all the drink and the beautiful wine and milk and honey, etc., as we were going to take, will be provided for us in Jannah? Why will we drink? Well, we will only drink out of pure pleasure, not out of thirst. So after drinking from Al-Kawthar, we will never ever be thirsty ever again in our life. And it is without doubt at the pond of Al-Kawthar where all the believers will meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prophet that they knew and they had taken as a prophet even though they had never seen him. This is the prophet that they've all been waiting for, our beloved friend Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who we love more than our parents. We will get to meet him finally at the pond of Al-Kawthar. I am waiting for that time. Oh Allah, I ask you. Oh Allah, I ask you. And I know everyone who's listening to me has the same dua. Oh Allah, do not forbid us from that pond. Oh Allah, do not forbid us from meeting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, do not forbid us from meeting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, do not forbid us from meeting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We miss him. We want to meet him. So Allah, please do not forbid us from meeting him. On that day, subhanAllah, on that day, brothers and sisters, Islam, there will be some people who will try to come to the pond of Al-Kawthar, but they will be pushed away. They will be pushed away from the pond. They will not be able to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these are either one of two people. As the ulama mentioned, they're either one of two people. They're either the munafiqeen, the ones who are the hypocrites, and who try to act like they're Muslims, but they're hypocrites. And so they are the people who will not be able to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that day. And also another type of people will be those people who said they're Muslims, yet they did not follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said that they love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they did not follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these are the people who will also be pushed away from meeting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the pond. Without doubt, my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, we must follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we want to meet him, we must follow his sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to believe in the way, in the same belief of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Allah says in the Quran, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا وَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ وَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ As Allah says in the Quran, that verily if they believe, O Muhammad, as you truly believed, then truly they are guided. And if they turn away, then they are on a very astray path, on a path that is totally astray. And we will definitely suffice them in punishment. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So we must try and struggle to believe as Rasulullah truly believed. So let's go back and try and revive the sunnah of his faith and his iman to try and believe as he believed. Also, we must try and follow the way of the companions of Rasulullah, the pious predecessors of the generation of the companions and those who were after the companions, the students of the companions and their followers. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى. And he who goes away from the path of the Prophet after the way has been made clear for him, وَيَتَّبِعَ غَيْرَ السَّبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and follows the way of other than the believers, meaning he goes away other than the way of the companions of Rasulullah and their followers نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى. We will leave him wherever he went. وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ, and we'll take his path towards Jahannam. وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا, and what an evil, evil destination that would be. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also reminds us in the Quran saying, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَن تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And let those who go away from his path, turn away from his guidance, remember that perhaps it may be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will touch them with a terrible fitna, a terrible punishment, or that he will give him a fitna, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him punishment. And Imam Ahmed rahimullah said, what does fitna mean in this verse? Fitna in this verse means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you a non-Muslim. Meaning that if you do not obey Allah, obey Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi and follow his path, it may be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you into non-Muslim. He will make you into hypocrite. A hypocrite is someone who you think you're Muslim, but really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, you're not Muslim. So you'll be turned away from the Kawthar on that day. So if you do not follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi, you may be of those people who are turned away from the path and then thrown into the fire of hell. So when these people are being brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi, at that time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi will say, these are my ummah, don't take them away. These are my ummah, this is from my people. And at that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels will tell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي مَا صَنَعُوا مِنْ بَعْدِكَ. Verily, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you do not know what these people have done after you. You do not know what they have done after you. At that point, they will be thrown away, dragged away from the pond of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they will be thrown into the fire. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, سُحْقًا سُحْقًا, yani, go away. لِمَنْ بَدَّلَ الدِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي, for those who have changed the religion after me. So follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, the Quran is not the only guidance. There is also the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the proof for that? The proof for that is numerous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Quran so that Rasulullah could explain it. And in Inna alayka bayanas, verily Rasulullah would be there for explaining it. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that he will tell that he says to the wives of Rasulullah, وَاذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. O wives of the Prophet, remind the people of what is recited in your homes from the verses of Allah, meaning the verses that are sent down to Rasulullah and revealed, and wal-hikmah, and the sunnah. Wal-hikmah, meaning the wisdom. And what is the wisdom here except the sunnah? Meaning, first the ayat of Allah are the verses. Then he says, wal-hikmah, and something else which is not the ayat of Allah. What are they? Then they must be the sunnah of Rasulullah, because his statements and how he acted with his wives, etc. So here we find in this verse a command of Rasulullah for his wives to actually tell, command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the wives of Rasulullah to remind people about the sunnah of Rasulullah. And I remind you, my friends, if you can hold on to the sunnah of Rasulullah at a time like this, when holding on to his sunnah is so difficult, it is like holding on to hot coal, then the reward of you will be the reward of 50 times one of the companions of Rasulullah. And this is an authentic hadith that has been reported from Rasulullah. If you hold on to his sunnah, it is when at a time when it's like holding on to hot coal, you will get the reward of 50 companions. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not deny meeting up with Rasulullah in the pond of Al-Kawthar. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us all together and meet our beloved Prophet and to give us drink from that beautiful pond, and to make us from his ummah, and to fill our hearts with love for this Prophet who we're desperately waiting to meet, inshallah, until the next episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Then follow him, that truly not only Rasulullah will love you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring us back to this love, inshallah, and until the next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
مبسوط.